And a great place to start in your Bible is in the Gospels. I'm going to read out of John 14, and I love John 14. Listen, the Gospels will point you to Jesus. Anytime you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and one of my favorite books in that group is the book of John, it points you to Jesus Christ. And so it's a great book to look at. We're going to jump in this morning into John chapter 14. I'm going to start reading at verse 1, and I want to read a story to you. We're going to read 9 verses, and then we're going to back up a little bit and unpack some of it. So just listen to God's word. Father, no, I'm sorry, hold on, I messed up. All right, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, of course, Jesus is speaking. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it will satisfy us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you've not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Let me go back to verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus is saying to you this morning, do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I was at the donut shop here in town this week, and there's a group of men that gather there, and they were asking me how I was doing. I said, hey, I'm doing great. And they said, really? I said, oh, yeah, I'm doing great. I said, my life is great. And they said, really? And I said, yeah. I said, I'm a rich man. And they said, oh. And one of them said, have you watched the news? And I said, no, actually, I don't watch the news. Amen? Listen, if you watch the news, your heart's going to be troubled. If you listen to the culture and the things they're saying and that right is wrong and wrong is right, your heart is going to be troubled. Jesus said, get your focus on me. Get your eyes on me. You know what you're doing this morning? Your focus is on Jesus. You're here this morning in God's house, and you're suspending your schedule, and you're putting your focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, look to me and don't be troubled. Don't listen to the culture. Don't listen to the world around you. Trust me. Now, I made a statement in the donut shop. I told those men I was a rich man, and I want to explain to you what I meant by that. Of course, now, I'm okay financially. Let me tell you something about money. It may not be God's will for you to be a millionaire. Now, it may be. I don't know that. But I do know what God's will is. His will is that you're not financially oppressed. Don't miss that. Amen? Now, maybe you're going to be a millionaire. Maybe you are a millionaire, and I'm not speaking against that at all. But here's what I know. It's God's will and plan and purpose that not one of you be financially oppressed. You know what prosperity is? More burrito than appetite. Amen? More burrito than appetite, right? If you've got something left over, you're prosperous. You know, we've been guilty, and when I say we, I mean my family. We've been guilty of praying that God would meet our needs and our cupboards are full. Let that sink in. Our cupboards are full. Okay, when I say I'm a rich man, what I mean is I know the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a lovely wife. I have great kids. I have great son-in-law and daughter-in-law. I have a great church. I have great, incredible grandkids. I'm a rich man in so many ways, just like many of you are. Jesus said, you don't need to be troubled. You don't need to be worried. You believe in God, believe also in me. Listen to me. Don't listen to the world. Don't look at the world. Don't try to draw your hope or your comfort or your peace from the world. But you put your gaze and you put your focus on Jesus Christ. Let me read you the next verse. In my Father's house are many mansions. I love that. I have a mansion in heaven. I said, I have a mansion in heaven. Now, people will say, well, that's not what he meant. Well, here's what I want to know. If that's not what he meant, why didn't he say what he meant? Come on. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now, that word means dwelling place. That's what it means. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Let me tell you some really good news. Jesus is in heaven preparing a place for you. Listen, there's room in God's house for you. You have a place setting at the table with one of those little cards that has your name engraved in it. Okay, you're not going to get to the party and, oh, they lost your reservation. You're not going to get to the party and they say, oh, you're not on the list. You don't belong here. No, that's not going to happen. Jesus said, I'm going on ahead. Don't you be troubled and worried. I'm preparing a place for you. I'm building a dwelling place for you that where I am, you can be also. And I'm going to come back and I'm going to get you. Now, don't miss this. Can you go to the next verse for me, please? Verse 3. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Now, stop right there. Leave that verse up for me for just a minute. I want to talk about it. Church, Jesus is coming again. Church, Jesus is coming again. I want you to be encouraged. Our dad is the coach. He owns the field. He owns the ball and the bat. The equipment belongs to him. And we play until we win. Are you with me? Jesus said, I'm coming again. Why is he coming? He's coming to receive us that where he is will be also. Now, I don't know about you, but that brings a lot of comfort to me, and I wanted to bring comfort to you. Listen, Jesus said, I'm going. Now, I'm going to build an abode for you. I'm going to build a mansion for you, and my mansion's going to be good. I hope, is your mansion going to be good? Man, my mansion's going to be good. And he said, then I'm going to come back and I'm going to get you so that where I am, you can be also. I want that to comfort you today. Listen, you and I are going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read you the next verse. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go and the way you know. Now, here we go. I love this. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going and we don't know the way. Don't you love that? Now, listen, I got to come downstairs and preach. Yeah, I got to come downstairs and preach. I really relate to Thomas. Now, and he's called doubt. We've called him Doubting Thomas. And I'm not saying I'm doubting Thomas, but I love how Thomas speaks up. Here's what Jesus says. He says, hey, I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, you're going to come and you're going to be with me. And then he makes this crazy statement. He says, you know where I'm going and you know the way. And Thomas I believe he didn't even raise his hand. I don't believe, you know, you ever done that before? Can I talk? Or how do you raise your hand? I don't believe he even raised his hand. He just blurted out and he said, Lord, I don't know where you're going, and I don't know the way. Now, think about it for a minute. Okay, here's what's going to happen. See, heaven is a real place right now. My parents are there. My grandparents are there. My brother's there. His wife is there. They're there right now in the presence of God. You probably have loved ones that are there right now, and they're in another dimension. Let that sink in. They're not in a physical realm. They're in a spiritual realm. Okay, they left this life. They left this earth. They left time, and they went into a spirit realm, into another dimension. And they're there with God the Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they look like themselves. They feel like themselves, and they're there with their loved ones, and they're there with God. And Jesus said, hey, I'm going to go prepare a place for you, and you know how to get there. And Thomas says, no, I don't. I love that. You ever been lost? You ever been lost? Tried to get somewhere and you couldn't? As a kid, have you ever been lost? Or maybe as an adult? You know, some of you are in here old enough to remember when we used maps, paper maps. Okay? Dennis, right here. I'm looking at you, Dennis. Me and you, we know. Yeah. Yeah. I can remember going on those trips and, you know, we're going to Dallas and you got the kids in the back seat and you got the map folded out over the windshield and you can't even see to drive. And you're doing 75 down the highway, right? And trying to peek through the map to see the road. And you know how those maps have all those little squiggly lines on it? And we're screaming at each other, turn here. No, turn here. Nothing has ruined more marriages than maps. Now, I know all you young folk, you got that little box in your hand with that lady that lives in there. And you just ask her, hey, tell me how to get here. And she tells you how to get there and how to turn there, right? You know, now Vicky and I are getting better at it all the time. One day we were going on a trip, and she had it plugged into the phone, you know, and then charging, you know, in the pickup. Well, what we didn't know is when it's charging, she can't talk. Did y'all know that? Like when you plug it in and plug it into the charger, she quits talking. I don't know if she's getting all vibrated. I don't know what's happening, right? But she's not talking. And so we're waiting for her to say something. And the longer we wait, the more lost we get and the more we're fighting. And I'm so mad, I reach over and yank the cord out of it, and she starts talking. We learned purely by accident that if you want that woman to shut up, just put the charger in. Now, if you've been lost, you know what it feels like to be lost. Thomas said, hey, Lord, I don't know where you're going, and I don't know how to get there. And Jesus says something that is so powerful, so real, and so profound. I want to let you to listen to what he says. He says, Lord, I don't know where you're going, and I don't know the way. And Jesus said, I'm the way. Thomas, I'm the way. Eric, I'm the way. Lord, I don't know how to get where you're going. I want to be where you are. I want to end up where you are, but I don't know that I know how to get there. Now, that's a very familiar verse to lots of Christians. It's a very familiar verse to me. And I've preached on that verse. What verse? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, if you've ever talked to anybody about Jesus and somebody, you know, says, hey, well, you know, there's many ways to heaven and Jesus is not the only way. And I've used that verse before. I've told people that verse. No, Jesus himself said, I'm the way. I'm not a way. I'm the way. I'm the truth and I'm the life. And there's nothing wrong with using it in that context. But in this story, Thomas says, Lord, I don't know how to get there. And Jesus says, if you'll stick close to me, you'll end up where I'm at. I'm the way. Lord, I don't know how to get where you're going. I don't know how to get into that other dimension. I don't know which turn to take. You know, for years and years and years, my brother was a crop duster in Hollis, Oklahoma, and being in the agriculture industry, you know, he would spray men's farms all over the whole countryside, so he knew where every farm was, he knew where every, you know, every center pivot was, he knew where 5 acres were or 10 acres. I mean, he just knew the lay of the land, and he never got lost, and if you needed directions, you know, he could give you directions. Have you ever gotten directions from somebody, and they knew where they were going, but you didn't know, and they'd tell you, you know, just like right here. Hey, you know, you go to get on this highway down here. You know, occasionally people will stop and ask us, you know, how do you find this or how do you find that? And we say, hey, you go down here and you turn here and, you know, you get down to this light post and then, you know, there's Bob's place down there. And right, you know, then there's a sign down there that says roll a cone. And then you go a little further and there's these Dolly Parton elevators. And if you're not from here, you know, you say, well, why do those elevators remind you of Dolly Parton? And most of y'all must have seen Dolly Parton's elevators, right? Yeah, yeah. Because when you get out there and you see them, you're like, oh, I totally see Dolly Parton in those elevators. But if you'd ever been out there, you don't know that. Now, yeah, y'all quit thinking like that. I know how y'all are thinking. Thomas said, Lord, I don't know how to get there. And Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We have a street sign in Power Kids that we use, and it says one way. And when you hold it up, it says one way. And all year long, we talk to the kids about how there's one way to heaven. There's one way to God. There's one way to the Father, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not many ways. There's not different ways. There's one way. You know, it's popular on the internet, and you may have come across it, where people will say that Jesus never said in the Bible that he was God. Well, that's not true. He did. And I'm going to show you here as we keep going through these verses, but he says right here, he says, I'm the only way to the Father. Put up the next verse for me, if you would. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Verse 8, please. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it will satisfy us. Verse 9, Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you've not known me, Philip? Don't miss this. He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? You know what Jesus just said? He said, I am God. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen God. And so what's he saying? He's saying, hey, I'm God. I'm equal with God. I am God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So when somebody tries to say to you, hey, nowhere in the Bible does it say that Jesus said he was God. Yes, sir. It says so right there. He says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, let me tell you something here that'll really help you. If you've ever felt like, you know, maybe you've just struggled a little bit thinking about who God is, anytime you read a story in the Bible and you see Jesus do something, that's always a representation of God. Listen, the more you know about Jesus, the closer you are to Jesus, the more you know about God and the closer you are to God. Are you with me? See, if you read the book of John and you read those stories in the Gospels about the things Jesus did, he represents God. He is God. And so when he does something, he's displaying God's heart and God's character. And so the more you know about Jesus, the more you know about God. He who has seen me, Jesus, has seen the Father. And so how can you say, show me the Father? Go to the next verse. Is that the last one or we got another one? Is that it? That's it? All right, that's it. Thank you, man. Let me make sure I got everything I wanted to say here. I don't want to leave nothing out. If you've seen the Father, you've seen me. Now, here's all I wanted to do this morning. I just want to encourage you. Don't worry. Don't worry about our culture. Don't worry about America. Don't worry about the world. Don't worry about what's going on. Don't worry about, hey, what's the world going to be like when my kids are growing up? What's the world going to be like when my grandkids are grown? What's going to happen? Listen, Jesus said, don't be troubled. You keep your eyes on me. Listen, you point yourself to Jesus. You point your children to Jesus. You point your grandchildren to Jesus. And don't be worried and don't be troubled. Jesus is preparing a place for you and I, and we're going to be there together with him for all of eternity, and it's going to be absolutely amazing. Amen? And I don't want you to be discouraged. I don't want you to be troubled, and I don't want you to be worried. Would you stand to your feet? Let me pray for you. The Lord's good. Amen? Hey, Father God, thank you this morning. Thank you for all that you're doing in our lives and our families. Lord, I want to declare your grace over our loved ones, our households, our jobs, our communities. Father God, I'm so thankful. Father, I'm so blessed to be a part of this amazing church. Father, I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I do not know how people live without church. I don't know how people live without the body of Christ. I don't know how they do it because these folks are such an important part of my life. And I'm grateful for every one of them. Father, I pray they're strengthened, they're refreshed, they're encouraged, and that your hand is on our lives. Father, I'm thankful for your hand on camp, that we have an incredible time this next week, and that kids' lives are changed. And I'm thankful for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Hey, I love you. Y'all go and be blessed, and I'll see you next time.